that it will not only have on our district, but on the state of Minnesota. And as your representative, it's my pleasure to introduce the redistricting committee that's been working diligently in St. Paul. They've been meeting regularly to try to figure out what is the best, fairest way to redistrict the state of Minnesota so you people get the best possible representation you can get. And it's our pleasure to be here tonight, and I'm glad to say that Brainerd is the first city in Minnesota that the redistricting committee has come to for public input. So that bodes well for our area. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce the chairman of the committee, Representative Eric Paulson.
Thank you, Representative Walz, for hosting the meeting tonight and attending as well. I know it's not one of your regular committees that you're not a member of, but real quickly, we'll just proceed with some routine business items. Clerk will note the roll, and Representative Gray, if you'd like to move the minutes of the February 6th meeting of the redistricting committee, the fourth meeting.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
There's a motion before us. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, I'd like to have members of the committee introduce themselves, but first I do want to thank all of the members for taking the time to attend today. Members have had a busy day of committee meetings already this morning, starting at 8 o'clock. We'll return later this evening, and I know many members have to get up early tomorrow morning as well, so I sincerely do appreciate you taking the time to travel with the committee today. And I also want to thank the members of the audience who have attended today, taking the time from their busy schedules, as Representative Walz had mentioned, taking the time to be here. Your attendance is important. We hope to learn that you learn something from the redistricting process, but we also hope to learn from you and gather your input. We appreciate that. I want to thank the staff, committee assistants, Eric Holmstrom and Greg Pepin, for arranging the logistics for making the meeting possible as well. And next, maybe we can have the committee members introduce themselves. I'll just start. I'm Eric Paulson, chair of the committee. I represent portions of Eden Prairie and Edina in the Twin Cities. And then maybe we can start down on the far end. We can hardly see them down there, but Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Marty Seifert. I represent portions of Lyon, Redwood, and Yellow Medicine counties in the southwestern part of the state.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Knobloch, state representative from the St. Cloud area, including parts of St. Cloud, Wade Park, and St. Augusta.
Hello. I'm Gregory Gray, state representative, North Minneapolis.
And I'm Carlos Mariani Rosa. I represent downtown St. Paul, west side, west 7th, and the capital is actually in my district as well. And I decided that since we didn't see the sun until we hit Brainerd, I think we'll stay in Brainerd for another day or two and take in the sights.
So. I'm Herb Anderson from International Falls, Minnesota, District 3-8.
Hi, I'm Representative Michelle Riffenberg. I represent the farthest southeast corner of the state, Houston and Winona County. I'm from La Crescent, Minnesota.
I'm Linda Boudreau, and I represent portions of Rice and Le Sueur County and live in Faribault.
I'm Kathy Tinglestead from District 50B, which is central Anoka County, just north of the Minneapolis area.
Mr. Pender, if you'd like to introduce yourself briefly.
I'm Tom Pender. I'm the counsel to the committee.
And the House Committee on Redistricting, as I mentioned earlier, is in Brainerd tonight on the first of several trips outstate that we're taking to greater Minnesota to describe the redistricting process and solicit your input, answer any questions that you may have. In preparation for tonight's meeting, the committee notified approximately 100 elected local officials, city clerks, county auditors. We sent out about 40 news releases to various papers in the area, northern Minnesota. Notified 68 radio stations as well of our activity here and invited cable television, which is here this evening as well. The hearing is informal, and we invite you for your questions at any time. Because we're taping the meeting, you'll need to use the microphone when you come forward and just identify yourself. Please feel free to raise your hand, though, if you do have a question, and then we'll invite you forward. Let me begin by just stating that, again, the goal of the committee is to develop a fair redistricting process plans for 134 House districts throughout the state, as well as 67 Senate districts, and including 8 congressional districts as well, that recognizes the population and the demographic changes that have occurred in the state throughout the last 10 years, and that really gives minority groups an opportunity for representation as well. I'll take just a few minutes on providing some real brief comments, if I may. Once someone grabs their cell phone.
Someone ignores their cell phone.
The United States Constitution does stipulate that every 10 years, all 50 state legislatures must redraw their legislative and congressional districts based on the new population figures that are provided by the U.S. Census. Every 10 years, the boundaries for state representatives and senators and the U.S. Congress are redrawn to accommodate those changes in population. We have begun this process in Minnesota now, and this committee has had several meetings already in St. Paul with the goal of passing a bill this session. We're studying the history of redistricting in Minnesota, the population shifts in the state since 1990, and we're learning how to use the data that's being provided to us from the U.S. Census and the mapping software as well. As with any other bill in the legislative process, both the House and the Senate will develop their own redistricting plans, and the chances are those plans could be very vastly different. The challenge comes in melding the two plans together, presenting it to the governor for ultimate signature like any other bill. The governor also has formed his own citizen-based commission to get input on redistricting, and he is in the process every other week of gathering information from citizens as well. That group is currently meeting. Much of what we do as a committee is required by the U.S. Supreme Court, the Federal Voting Rights Act, the Minnesota Constitution, and state statutes. Districts, there are many factors that do play a role in developing a fair redistricting plan. Districts should be substantially equal in population. In fact, prior to the 1960s, districts were not equal in population or in size. After the U.S. Supreme Court made several decisions, Baker versus Carr and Reynolds versus Sims in the early 60s, population equality did become a requirement. For congressional districts, this means literally that districts must come to the exact population within one person. For legislative districts, there's discussion about using a smaller deviation, such as plus or minus 1%. Because of the technology, some are even talking of going to a zero deviation like that we have occurring on the congressional plans now. Districts also should be made up of convenient, contiguous territory, according to the Minnesota Constitution. And this means that all precincts in any given district must be connected geographically. So an area in Brainerd cannot be separated by Morrison County and then connected somewhere else, or not connected to another area of the district. They have to be contiguous and connected. And as much as possible, districts should be compact and not meander in unusual shapes through cities and counties. Another consideration is preserving communities of interest where it can be done without violating the other standards. And of course, we're working to prevent the dilution of voting strength of different racial or language minority populations, and in cases where possible, to increase the probability that members of the minority will be elected. The ultimate goal is to have a legislative and congressional district plans that are fairly representative of all Minnesotans. Again, I want to thank members of the audience for attending tonight. We do have handouts available for everyone when they come in. There are several maps that are on display that identify some of the population changes that have occurred within the last 10 years, which I think you'll find interesting. And please ask also members of the audience to sign in with the page as well. So with that, if there's no other questions, immediately I think we'll proceed and have our state demographer begin a presentation, which some of the committee members have seen already, but I think he'll even more narrowly focus some of his comments towards the Brainerds area. So with us, we have Tom Gillespie, the state demographer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move the mic closer here. There is a handout available on the table over here if you have not yet received that. And all of the graphics that I will show, plus a few extras, are in that handout. Committee will excuse my back.
Please proceed.
For the audience's information, my name is Tom Gillespie, and I'm the Minnesota State Demographer in the Minnesota Planning Office. We now have the first results from the 2000 census that was made available just prior to to New Year's, which gave us a total population in the state of 4,925,670 people. That is the lower number there. That was used for what is technically called apportionment, which is the number of congressional seats that each state has. Minnesota continues to have eight congressional seats. There were some changes in the nation. In general, the rapidly growing west and southwest portion of the country and southeast, some of the southeastern states gained congressional representation. The northeast continues to decline in congressional representation. Our neighbor to the east, Wisconsin, lost a congressional seat this time. Our neighbors to the west can't lose congressional seats because they only have one, and that is the absolute minimum that all states must have at least one. In coming up with that 4,925,000 population, the Census Bureau counted some people who were temporarily residing overseas. These could be service people who were temporarily assigned overseas, and also business people on temporary assignment overseas who are Minnesota citizens. That number was 6,191. But that number is not used, that total of 925,000 is used to determine the number of congressional seats. It is not used for redistricting, which is what this committee will be looking at. For redistricting, that overseas population is not included. Only the resident population of communities within Minnesota are included, and that number for the 1990 census was 4,919,479. That population represented a substantial increase over the previous decade of more than 12%. Minnesota grew very close to the national rate with approximately 13%, and the rate of growth is substantially faster than the rate of population growth during the two previous decades. You in the Brainerd area will have noticed some rather substantial growth in your area. And yes, indeed, central Minnesota is growing and experiencing strong growth, even faster, many areas growing faster than that statewide total. The total population that we have to date set some important numbers for redistricting. For each of the eight congressional seats, the population, the target population is 614,935. And as the chairman said, that the objective is to get as close to absolute equality as is possible for that number for each of the eight congressional seats. The population of each of the 134 state house seats is now up to 36,713. That represents an increase of about 4,000 people per house seat in the state. Growth in population in Minnesota results from from a slide that won't stay flat, from some rather substantial numbers. Each year, approximately 60,000 babies are born in Minnesota. Approximately 30,000 people die in Minnesota. That gives us a natural increase of approximately 30,000 people each year. On top of that, 80,000 to 90,000 people move in each year. That number goes up and down a little bit, but it stays in that general range. Move in from other states. Another 70 to 80,000 people move out of Minnesota to other states, giving us over the last decade a net inflow of people. We have more people moving from the rest of the nation into Minnesota than from Minnesota into other states. In addition to those numbers, another 5 to 8,000 people immigrate into Minnesota each year. Taken all together, the amount of change that we've experienced over the last 10 years, not just in number, but in who we are and our characteristics and our communities have changed dramatically. The largest area of change, let me put it that way, the area of largest population change is in the suburban ring around the Twin Cities. But you'll notice on your handout, the middle bar, which is the larger bar, represents that Twin Cities suburban ring, not including Minneapolis and St. Paul, and during the 1990s grew by more than 18%, very rapid pace of growth. But during the 80s, that growth was even more rapid than it was in the 90s. At the same time, while during the 80s we saw a decline in rural population and non-metropolitan population in the state, during the last decade we saw an increase in population outside of the Twin City area. Again, Minneapolis and St. Paul are estimated to have lost population. Now, these numbers are based upon estimates that we do in the State Demography Office in cooperation with the Census Bureau each year. They are still estimates, and all the maps that are in the foyer are maps of district populations that are based upon these estimates. The final counts, the real counts that will come from the 2000 census will be made available sometime in March, and we're guessing around middle to end of March. And at that time, we will receive population, total population, and population age 18 and over by detailed race and ethnicity for each city and township and county, precinct, neighborhood, school district, even down to very, very small areas of a block level. So the amount of detailed information will be extensive, and the information will be useful. Of course, it's a starting point for redistricting, but it'll also be useful for many other purposes, and cities and counties and other organizations will be keenly interested in the results. In general, during the last decade, Minnesota experienced a substantial amount of growth in the counties here shaded in gold through the central part of the state, starting roughly from the Rochester Olmsted Steele County area up through Rice County into the Twin City, what some people refer to as the donut, the rapid growth donut around the Twin Cities. St. Cloud experienced very rapid rate of growth. Alexandria, also that the area around Alexandria and Douglas County, and then up through the central part of the state experienced very rapid growth. And as you'll notice, in the Lakes area in central Minnesota, there was a rather substantial amount of population growth that occurred in the area. Crow Wing counties and Cass counties both grew very rapidly. At the same time, we have a number of counties on the western and southwestern southern portion of the state that have experienced very long-term population loss. Typically, these are counties where people have on average, more people have moved out of the county each year than have moved in, and generally is characterized as oftentimes as younger people graduating from high school, move out of the area to seek their fortunes, and over a long period of time, this has led to much older populations and populations that have experienced, in some cases, long-term population loss going back to basically the turn of last century in some cases. The unshaded areas represent an area of more modest growth, but clearly a buffer area that between the rapid growth and the population loss areas. In the foyer, I'm sorry, I don't have a district map in front of me, but in the foyer, I will direct your attention to a map of estimated values for legislative districts in Minnesota, and particularly in the central Minnesota area. The legislative districts in this area, and including the district represented by Representative Waltz, have grown at a rate faster than the average state growth, which means that in the redistricting process, they have more people than the average would suggest that they should have. So they're going to need to get physically smaller. Other districts in the surrounding area will need to get physically a little bit bigger. So there will be some need for adjustment of boundaries along those lines. In general, if we just look at Cass and Crow Wing counties, the combined growth, population growth of those two counties amounts to close to a half of a house district. So there's actually a substantial amount of population growth in the area, and growth that should have a substantial impact on the redistricting process. Finally, if we do a very generalized, again, dividing the state up into three areas, that suburban, rapid growth, suburban Twin City, Donut, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, and the rest of the state, it appears as though the suburban Donut, if you just take just simply the population totals and total them up, would imply a shift of about 5 House seats into that suburban ring, a drop of approximately 3 House seats in the rest of the state, and approximately 2 House seats in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Again, this is just based upon the population totals, and to a large degree, how this ends up is dependent upon the actual process of redistricting as it goes forward. Again, different areas of the state will experience some increases, may very well experience some increases in representation because of increased population, while others may experience less representation for the geographic area. This area of Minnesota, again, is a rapidly growing area and should experience some increases in representation.
Appreciate that, Mr. Gillespie. I have one quick question. You mentioned the growth in the regional area here in the Lakes area. Do you know offhand what the population growth has been for Representative Walz's district or for Senator Samuelson's district in general? Numbers,
Mr. Chairman, those numbers are, or at least the percentage rates are available on the maps and on the map in the foyer. Yeah, I think at least in terms of how they compare with other areas. Crow Wing County, I do have county totals and also city totals for estimated values. We estimate between 1990 and 1999, and again, there will be one more year added on to this, that Crow Wing increased by about 19% and its population cast by nearly 18%. So both of those counties substantially faster than the state average. Morrison about for a little over 7%, a little slower than the statewide average. Todd about 3.5%. But Todd is a county that had experienced some population loss over a long period of time, and actually is beginning to show some turnaround in its growth process.
Any other members have any questions? Otherwise, we've seen much of this information before. But any members of the audience have a question? If we could, just ask you to approach the microphone, maybe right here, and just identify yourself. And and the reason is because all the proceedings are being taped. So we do need to have that.
I'm Mary Cope from Brainerd, and I was curious as to what the population that you based the increase on was in Crow Wing County. What number did you use?
Mr. Gillespie?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Walsh, for Crow Wing County, the 1999 estimate was 52,698. That was the 52,698 is 19% higher than the 1990 population of 44,249. These numbers will be higher because there is an additional year, and they, depending upon how the census show, these are again estimates, and the census results may differ.
And so members of the audience know the census provides this information to the states, the various 50 states, by federal law by April 1st. And we expect to have those numbers probably sometime in mid-March.
Mr. Chairman.
So, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gillespie, could you explain how you arrive at your estimates? What's the basis for your estimates? And generally speaking, what's the margin of error that you encountered on those estimates?
Mr. Gillespie.
Chairman, Representative Gray, the estimates, first we take the Census Bureau estimate for the state total, and we take that as a given. The Census Bureau incorporates information on births and deaths and migration information that they receive from the Internal Revenue Service and other sources of data similar to that, develop a statewide estimate for Minnesota and each other state each year. We then take that information, and based upon school enrollments, births and deaths, how building, residential building activity, building permits and other activities, we make estimates of county populations, send that to the county. This is done each spring. Send it to the county for their review and comment, and while they are in the process of reviewing and commenting on this, we then take those totals and for each county and develop city and township estimates based upon information from the cities and townships, part of which is we contact each group facility in each city and city and township, nursing homes, prisons, colleges, other types of group facilities, as well as other administrative data, and develop an estimate that then sums back up to those county numbers, and then send that out for local review to the local officials. All that must be done by the end of June each year, and we do this on an annual basis. As far as the accuracy, historically. Well, right now, I can't say what the accuracy is because we'll find that out in a month or so. The accuracy, we rebase everything at the beginning of the decade. Of course, the accuracy gets perhaps a little bit more risky towards the end of the decade. We do take very seriously the local government comments, and particularly for small places.
in cities under 100 people as possible to count everybody that lives there. And one piece of information we have is how well our estimates do against those counts. And in general, over the last decade, they've been fairly close. But my expectation is that there will be differences between the final count and our estimated population. The Census Bureau also counted more people in every state of the country than they had previously estimated. In Minnesota, it was nearly a 2% higher number, which is pretty average on a national basis. Why that is, we don't know yet. Again, we're waiting. We should know within the next month.
Thank you. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gillespie, you identified five demographic things with impacting population growth, birth, deaths, in-migration, out-migration. What can you tell us about this area, this district in particular, Brainerd, perhaps more specifically in terms of which one of these factors are more salient for Brainerd? Is Brainerd seeing a huge influx of people from other states or a high birth rate or high death rate?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariana Rosa, if I can take sort of the Crow Wing County in general, has seen a substantial amount of migration into the area. Much of that migration has come in general from the Twin Cities area, particularly Hennepin County is one of the largest sources of migration, and there has been a substantial amount of conversion of seasonal units into year-round, as well as construction of other units. So there has been quite a bit of building activity and growth activity, people moving in to of people moving into the area, and so there has been quite a bit of growth due to that. Of course, there continues to be more babies born each year than people die in this area. There are areas of the state where that is not true, but they tend to be more in the western and southeastern.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mariani. It seems that Hennepin County's loss is Crow Wing County's gain in that respect. I'm wondering, in addition to the census information that we'll receive, what can this community do to guide, from your opinion, to guide the legislature in drawing the lines for the residents of this district? What are the kind of activities that citizens here in Brainerd, or is it totally out of their hands? It's all in the census. They already did their bit by participating in the census, and you know, the elected officials just simply have to draw the lines.
Mr. Gillespie.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariani Rosa. Of course, this really gets out of my area of expertise, it's been my since this is my third time involved with the redistricting process. The numbers provide a starting point; they don't dictate the final outcome, and it is very much up to the committees and the legislature and the governor to arrive at boundaries that make sense to throughout Minnesota. And in that sense, it would appear that input from people and within the community could be very valuable, particularly in things like, you know, where are communities of interest? What are the areas where you know this group should be, you know, belongs more together, and that group belongs more together? Things like not having a district separated by a very large lake, so you know you got a little bit on one side of the lake and a little bit on the other side of the lake, and
you don't have lakes up here.
Lakes and rivers without bridges can be a problem, and need to, and particularly in this area, need to be very careful of not putting a boundary in a place that becomes inaccessible, ultimately for voting So things like that also become, the amount of detail is going to be great, and so it's easy to overlook things, and in that case, local input can be extremely valuable.
And of course, the value, the heart of your value of your question goes to value being here and getting citizen input, of course, on various communities of interest, and we want to make sure we invited all the local officials from the regional counties to participate, and hopefully some are here, which the Secretary of State's office, I think, is going to make a comment just a little bit. But Representative Knobloch, you had a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gillespie, could you talk a little about the surrounding counties? You talked about Crowing Sun, you touched on Todd a little bit, but for those county commissioners and others who maybe aren't directly from Crowing County but came in from neighboring counties, could you talk a little bit about what's happening in some of those?
Mr. Gillespie.
Certainly, Chairman, Representative Knobloch. Of course, there's growth both south of here and north of here, substantial growth. The St. Cloud area is growing very rapidly. To the north of here, Beltrami County, we believe, grew a little bit faster than the state average. Hubbard, again, grew faster, about 15% or so. Aitken also has experienced strong growth, nearly 15%. Itasca a little bit slower, about 7.5%. So there's a belt of counties that are related sort of to the lakes area, to resort, particularly resort areas, and in some cases retirement areas. That are growing very, very rapidly, and once you get very far from that, either to the west or the east, growth begins to drop off.
Are there any other questions from members of the audience at all for Mr. Gillespie? If not, we'll just proceed. Robin Anthony from the Secretary of State's office is here, and I think she's just going to briefly comment on a handout that was made available to members of the audience as well as members in terms of. Cynthia, are you comfortable just standing there with the microphone, or would you like to?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thank
right.
you.
Please
Mr. Chair, committee. My name again is Robin Anthony. I work for Minnesota Secretary of State's office in the Elections Division, and I'm here today to talk a little bit about what our role is in the redistricting process. The first I want to bring your attention to is a handout that is over there, and it includes in there a draft timetable. And, of course, this is draft because depending on meeting one deadline after another, the whole timetable may be moved. It also has some wonderful resources in there for you as well. As was noted earlier, the census data is going to be available by probably March, by law, I believe, April 1st. And once that is completed, after the legislature passes a bill, the governor signs it. The Secretary of State's office conveys that to all 87 counties in the state of Minnesota. The counties then will work with their wards and with their cities. And that's when the precinct level and the ward level starts to take an effect. Our role with that is basically to guide the local elected officials and in the process of doing this. Under Minnesota Statute 204B.146, it does state that the Secretary of State's office shall conduct conferences with county auditors, municipal clerks, and school district clerks to instruct them on the procedures for redistricting of election districts. And that's something we are prepared to do. We're talking about 3,200 clerks and auditors across the state of Minnesota will be providing conferences for the last week in July. That's one way that we will be providing assistance. In addition, Secretary Kiffmeyer has since sent out a communications to all county auditors regarding a redistricting working group that we will be starting this month with representatives from towns, clerks, school districts, counties, and all the affiliated associations as well. So we'll be meeting once a month for those redistricting on that redistricting working group to be able to help some of the local governments really through this process. One thing they need to take into consideration is the polling place locations and all the logistics and election judges, and then prepare for the 2002 election, which will be a very, very interesting one. So that said, I'll take questions on what our role is.
Thank you. Any questions from members? Representative Mariani.
Quick question. When the federal government makes its final census numbers available, who in state government does the federal government provide that information to? Is it your office, or is it multiple places, or is it to the legislature?
It's multiple places. It's we probably hear it through the media before we actually receive it.
CNN.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Gillespie, I don't know if you have any response to that question as well, dealing with your experience.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariana Rosa, the there will be five recipients of the data. The majority and minority leader in each house has been named, and since the Bureau has their names, it will be delivered to them, and one copy to the governor. Once those have been delivered and confirmation of delivery has been made, the Census Bureau will make this available to the public on their website and in other ways. But it'll be a simultaneous delivery. In actuality, of course, the computer people will be getting the copies. But officially, the majority and minority leaders in each house.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the audience? So, Ms. Anthony, if I can just quickly ask, if I understand it correctly, I mean, if local county auditor or city clerk contacts, you know, any of the members of the committee or inquires about the process on what they should do or what's going to happen, I mean, should we refer them to the Secretary of State's office in terms of an expected timeline? Is that the appropriate?
Right. As mentioned, we do have a draft timeline, and we are working with all these entities actually starting a couple weeks ago. So we will be providing ongoing communications with all the municipalities and the county auditors. And we also have a GIS specialist in-house in the Elections Division who will be attending all of your meetings and keeping us informed, and then thus we'll be keeping the auditors informed as well.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Anthony, if members of the general public are interested in access to the information, to the software, does the Secretary of State's office have all that? And if so, how much are you willing to interface with the general public who may want specific information about areas or even maps on certain areas?
Ms. Anthony.
Representative Gray, Mr. Chair. That's a really good question. And yes, we will be working with citizens. For those of you that don't know, on Election Day, our office took over 6,000 calls. And those were specifically from citizens asking lots of different questions. We're prepared to provide citizens, local government officials, whatnot, with any information we have in-house.
Thank you.
So based on what Representative Gray is saying, do you expect, I mean, to be providing maps to local government officials, essentially, when this process is complete and the committee's done its good work? I mean, that's something that will be provided by the Secretary of State's office as well. I mean,
yes, Mr. Chair. We are actually looking forward to redistricting for the purpose of updating all of our current maps in the GIS system. The maps are a little bit gray in some of the boundary areas, and so we're very pleased to be able to participate in redistricting. And then what we'll be able to do from there is provide precinct maps to voters, to elected officials, correct ones. And that's something that we are very much looking forward to.
And Do we have a question from the audience, please? If you can just come forward just and speak in the microphone.
Thank you.
Just identify yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Terry Sluice. I represent, I'm a county commissioner representing Brainerd and Baxter. As I look through the fact sheet, I notice under the local redistricting section, it indicates that when all the districts have been determined, boundaries for election precincts will be set. Could you give, or could someone give us some guidance in respect to the fact that we will have 60 days as local units of government to accomplish that task, as to you know, how that process goes forward at a local level?
Ms. Anthony, if you'd like to comment, or perhaps Mr. Pender might be able to comment as well. But Ms. Anthony?
I'll give the roll, Mr. Chair. That is one of the reasons why our office is preparing a working group with local offices right now, as well as providing conferences, because there is a lot of prep work that can be done right now, such as putting a plan into place. You are absolutely correct in when you talk about the short time frames, and you really do not know exactly how much time you're going to have. It really depends on the legislature, and it depends on the technology, a lot of different variables to consider. So anything that folks can do ahead of time to be able to make sure that they're ready to go, a lot of cities have already started to form committees, those types of things. And with this working group, redistricting working group, we'll be prepared to communicate what other ideas out to the cities and towns and the counties, giving each other ideas how to prepare themselves. But it's very, very small amount of time.
Mr. Pender, did you want to follow up at all with any?
Mr. Chair, I don't have anything to add to Ms. what Ms. Anthony said.
Ms. Anthony, I'm just curious, what about lists of registered voters? The precinct lines are drawn, and the county commissioners and auditors are trying to factor in that information as well. I mean, how is that handled, you know, through your office in terms of getting in the appropriate information?
Well, Mr. Chair, that's a good question. We are actually very fortunate to be one out of four states who manages a statewide voter registration system. What that means is that we have one database with all registered voters in it, not 87 for 87 different counties. And again, we're only one out of four states that have this. In addition to that, we are implementing a new voter registration system in July, and we are preparing to implement that in July. The current system now is a DOS-based computerized system. It's very slow. We are looking at a Windows-based environment where it'll be a little bit more user-friendly for the counties. The 87 counties and the city of Minneapolis are the 88 customers of ours regarding the voter registration system. That will all have to be taken a look at. Registered voters, the records may need to change depending on what district they now will then be living in.
Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see in our handouts that we have the statutes. I don't know if we're going to specifically refer to them during this meeting, or I have a question related to one of them on here that kind of ties in with this discussion.
Excellent. Go ahead. I think Mr. Pender might be able to answer that question. I think it might have been from his previous handout.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under the section 204B.135, redistricting of election districts, on the second page, there's a subdivision 5 that talks about redistricting expenses, and that the county board may levy a tax not to exceed $1 per capita. I know in some of our earlier testimony relating to the differences of redistricting this 10-year time versus previous 10-year periods that a lot of the costs seem to have gone down because of computer technology. I'm wondering, as some of the local officials looking at their budgets now and what they spent 10 years ago to put the new maps into place and all the different things that they had to do, is a dollar per capita, is that still going to be realistic? Has that been looked at all? Or, you know, as they look at their budgets now, what can they expect with that?
Ms. Anthony, I don't know if you have any comments on that or else.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I can speak on behalf of the counties. I do know that when that legislation was passed, I believe it was 1999, they were very pleased with that amount. Now, that's optional as well, but I do know that they were very pleased with that amount.
Mr. Pender, do you have any follow-up?
I don't have anything to add, Mr. Pender.
Just a quick follow-up.
Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, and Ms. Anthony, so you expect that dollar per capita to more than cover any of the costs that would be associated with the typical counties in that?
Ms. Anthony.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, I do.
Thank you.
And it's probably on a similar lines, Representative Tinglestad, of the GIS office being prepared for this 10-year process, so everyone's sort of on board and understanding mm-hmm. what's going to happen, and I think there was a lot of preparation by previous legislatures in the last session to sort of anticipate what the needs, and so maybe that's why we haven't heard much from some local officials on that issue itself. So,
great,
Representative
you.
Seifert, did you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, can you pick up on the microphone? Or
no, it's not. I think you may have to grab it, Representative Seifert.
Right. Take it off the stand, apparently. Okay. Mr. Chair, my question actually was to the people in Brainerd. Do they elect members by ward or at large in Brainerd?
Please come forward, Mr. Mayor, and appreciate you letting us use your council chambers for this event. And
nice to have you here. Sorry, I'm not dressed more appropriately, but I
identify yourself from the tape.
It's nice to see everybody up front here. I like this back here. Mr. Chair, and is that Jim or
Marty Seifert? Oh,
Marty, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
The city is divided into four wards, and it's done by population. And we do have 7 council people elected. 4 are elected, 1 from each ward, and then 3 at an enlarged position. So that house and town is divided by population into 4 wards.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm looking if members of the audience have Mr. Pender's handout that talks about laws that relate to Minnesota legislative and congressional redistricting on the front. And I would ask that if you are from a city or a county that you pick that handout up before you leave. On page 9, Mr. Chairman, maybe Mr. Pender could go through this, but from what I understand, if a city fails to do redistricting within a certain amount of time, the mayor and the council members have their salary withheld.
How do you get nothing from nothing?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just I thought it was kind of humorous. It's on page 9, Mr. Chair, but if Mr. Pender could elaborate on that, I doubt that our city officials even know about that, but perhaps you could elaborate on that for us, Mr. Pender.
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair, I think maybe that's what makes the... Chair and members, I think that's maybe what makes that 60-day time period workable. I don't know if that provision has ever been used in the past. I don't know the history of it.
Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a question for people in the audience, if that's permissible, and perhaps the mayor might want to take a first crack at it. One of the things that I'm interested, I think we probably all want to be interested in, is it looks like lines are going to have to change for this current district. You have too many people relative to the ideal district, and at least that's sort of the preliminary indication based on the estimates. So that means that there'll be some line changes, probably a loss of population centers, communities from this district. I'd be interested in hearing from the people of Brainerd a couple of things. One is, if that were the case, where in your district, and I'm not sure everyone in my district knows the boundaries of their house district, but where does it make sense for us to remove population from your house district? And maybe more kind of specific, and maybe as a way to be a little more provocative, would it make sense for us to divide parts of Brainerd to make that happen? What would be the sort of the sentiment and the feeling of the people here on that issue? So, Mr. Chair, I'm looking for sort of volunteers to give us a sense of, you know, what does a logical community of interest look like for the people of Brainerd and for the people of Representative Walz's district?
And I think the population change in this district itself is probably, it's under 1,000, I think. It's probably 700, 800, I think, as of right now, I think, perhaps. But undoubtedly there will be changes, of course, and
draw one line, it affects all lines. Perhaps the mayor could come forward again and comment, or commissioner, if you'd like to comment briefly.
Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Mayor, if you could just identify yourself for the tape.
Yes, I'm James Walling, Mayor of Brainerd. Thank you. I forgot to do that, didn't I? one of the things that, and this has happened within the county, they have different representation actually within the city, so the city actually is broken up into a couple different county representatives, commissioners, representing the city of Brainerd. So as well as not only does the city of Brainerd have different representatives, also the county represents different parts of the town. And actually, Brainerd and Baxter are pretty much one community. We have a somewhat of a dividing line, but you can't see it. And that's because this whole community is one large community. And to say you're from Brainerd, you could mean you could actually be from Gull Lake, you could be from Pine River, you could be from Baxter, or, you know, the area. So as far as to say that there's a specific line that could be drawn or how would it be drawn, I really don't have a good answer for that, because it's, I think if we have representative in one part, if you cut Brainerd in half this way and you had one representative on this side and one on the other side, they would, in a sense, it would be nice, because then we'd have two representatives for the city of Brainerd.
And Mayor Walling, what about combining Baxter with Brainerd?
We're working on that, Mr. Chairman. Like I say, Mayor Bragg, Baxter, and I have a very good rapport with each other, but it is because we're one community, sir. Everything that affects one community affects the other. And we are in the process, and I will state this very specifically, we are in the process of trying to get a study of a merger. Because every time you say merger, especially to some people, they get really excited. But we need to look at the study of a merger, the benefits, and we are in the process of doing that. And hopefully within the next month, we're going to be able to sit down and try and work something out.
What about in terms of concept of not sort of so much a merger, but sort of a from legislative representation, if Baxter and Brainerd were in the same district, for instance?
I think that'd be great.
Okay. Right. Same, similar community of interest, for instance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and really, like I say, this whole area has, you know, it's one combined community. It's not nothing you can just separate like you do in St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Thank you.
I think that's all.
Anything else, Mr. Chair?
Commissioner, if you wanted to make some comments on that as well.
For the record, again, my name is Terry Sluice, Crow Wing County Commissioner. I will echo what Mayor Walling has said, is that we are not only one community in Crow Wing County, we are discovering that we have common interests with surrounding counties as well, especially the lower portions of Cass County, who receive a lot of their services here in Crow Wing County. As Brainerd is becoming the hub of some medical aspects, Baxter becoming a hub of some commercial aspects. And I think we also, of recent date, have invested a lot of time and effort into determining what some of our natural boundaries are, and are starting to focus on water districts, which is not very politically important to a lot of people, but it certainly is from an environmental impact statement. And so we are looking at all kinds of different criteria as to what makes some sense for our representation. Yes, on one hand, if we had one representative that was focused on Brainerd-Baxter, there are some upsides to that, but there are also some downsides to that, in that we would prefer to have two representatives working for us on Capitol Hill. So maybe a division would be appropriate.
Representative
Nawak,
did you have a question?
Commissioner? Yes, Mr. Chair, Mr. Sluice, or Commissioner Sluice, what's the approximate population of Baxter? Do you know offhand?
Commissioner?
Or Mr. Mayor?
I know they were just certified not a couple of years ago to receive transportation funding, which was at the 5,000 level. So they're probably around 6,000 to 8,000 right now.
And Mr. Chair, Commissioner, so Brainerd city limits is about 12,000?
Actually, I think the last count there was roughly over 13,600. Okay. That was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And since that time, with the annexation that has taken place and the additional building that has taken place, I would say it's at least that amount.
Thank you.
Representative Mariani?
I thought I saw someone else raise their hand.
Is there another question from someone?
When I had...
If you can, come forward and identify yourself.
Jess Nixon, I'm just a citizen. I'm curious if the committee has had anything input to the national to see if we could change the date of the census. I am sure that if the census was the 1st of May instead of April, that our census in Minnesota and probably Wisconsin and a lot of other northern states would be much higher, and that would probably cost Florida and Arizona some legislative districts.
Mr. Gillespie, maybe you can just comment on the timing where April came from, if you know.
Chair, members of the committee, April Fool's Day was not always Census Day. It was in previous times during the summer, and it was moved several decades ago, and I can't remember the exact timing. The attempt in the census is to count people according to their usual place of residence, where they normally live year-round, and in the past there has been attempts to make sure that people who were temporarily residing in Arizona and Texas and places like that were counted back to their proper residence in Minnesota. This time, we even went to the extent of having what I would call a mole at the Minnesota picnic in Arizona, where we were passing out. The Arizona officials were not particularly pleased with us, but we were passing out materials to please fill out your census. But when you get back to Minnesota, that is something we're always concerned with. And I certainly appreciate your concern. We continue to make comments about that.
Please come forward if you have a question.
My name's Ed Shaw, another citizen from Brainerd.
Well,
there's discussion about Representative Wall's district and essentially having it lose some population. Does anyone know what kind of numbers we're looking at? How many people will be essentially drawn out of that district?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Mr. Shaw, my understanding is based on 99 numbers, unless Mr. Gillespie has an accurate count, it's around 726, perhaps, 726 people that have to be changed. That's based on 99 numbers, of course, and about a month, I mean, we'll know exactly what those figures are. Thank you. And again, as was presented informed by Mr. Gillespie, 36,712 will be the new number that we have to come to. That's up from 32,650, I believe, of 4,062. So this area has grown a little bit faster than the statewide average, just a little bit. Any other questions from members of the audience that I'm missing? Any questions from members at all? I hope this committee meeting has been informative for members of the audience and local government officials who attended as well. Again, I just want to very much thank members of the committee for taking time to travel up here. I know it's hard to spend several hours on the road and then after a long day of committee hearings and return late in the evening after committee hearings. And I do appreciate it very much. It's important work. And I want to thank Representative Walls for helping make the arrangements to host us here on the City Council Forum and having the mayor here as well. So. Oh, one more question, please. Come forward.
Jess Nix again. I was just curious, you mentioned how the redistricting was supposed to be done by compactness and so forth. Has the committee done any, formed any guidelines or anything like this, or set any rules that they're going to be going by for this, or is it just what's out there in the legislation or so forth?
Right. And actually, the Constitution requires that the districts have to be compact.
Right. But you haven't set any particular rules for the committee to make them compact?
No, no. In fact, the committee will probably be looking at putting together some sort of principles or criteria, as you said. You know, we mentioned some of those criteria earlier that have been used in the past, and we'd be looking at doing something similar probably this year. But that has not been done yet. 10 years ago, I think that was done by May, essentially, prior, just before the actual redistricting bill itself was passed.
Okay, I was just curious.
Sure, yeah.
Could get a hold of him as soon as possible.
Sure. Another question, please. Yeah, if you go ahead and grab the microphone.
Okay, I'm Mary Cope, and I just have to ask you, I understand you're one of three committees working on redistricting. You're the House committee. I understand there is a Senate committee, and additionally, there is a committee the governor has appointed. So at what point will you come together and perhaps arrive at some consensus of your work, or is it possible that each committee is charged with a different component of the overall picture? Or just how will this be integrated?
Well, and I certainly hope that, you know, the ultimate goal here is to produce a fair plan with all parties involved. I know the House is, you know, moving forward and having several hearings, both in St. Paul and now beginning those hearings out of state. The Senate has yet to act, from what I understand. They haven't even met. The governor's task force has been meeting, and I've been in communication with both the governor's staff and the Senate as well. And so I know that there's interested parties in terms of coming together and having agreement. Crunch time will arrive in May and hopefully avoid a special session. But I think the Senate hopefully will, you know, begin to meet and take the issue seriously, which I'm sure they do, and they will. But I know that this committee does, and that's why we're traveling outstate now for the several hearings in the near future. So good question. Well, it's like any, it's like a bill in terms of the process, and it's tough, and you know, it's a little give and take and negotiation, perhaps, and the ultimate goal is to avoid activity or interference by the courts, which has happened, I believe, every year that we've had redistricting, except maybe once in the last 90 years. So, you know, we have our challenge before us, and you know, perhaps having tripartisan government will help. We just don't know. Yeah, Representative Gray.
Mr. Chairman, one of the ways that the activities of the committee, certainly the House and the Senate, can be integrated, of course, is through the resolution that we talked about and identifying certain criteria that we're going to use in doing the redistricting process. You indicated that you've been in touch with the Senate as well as with the governor. And I'm wondering if you have a better idea of when that timetable will start, when will we start going about the process of putting something like this together. Hopefully we don't wait as long as they did 10 years ago when they put it together just before they passed the bill. This might be, I would think, a good basis from which to work to build the type of plan that we can all live with.
No, you're absolutely right, Mr. Representative Gray, and it is a good basis to work from. And as we mentioned, I think when Mr. Watson testified before the committee, he said there was no need to pursue early on the criteria, that you could wait literally until right before the bill was passed, or you didn't even have to do it at all. Essentially, you don't have to if you can come to agreement on a bill anyway. So we're more than willing to, I think, work with the Senate. I know the governor's task force has begun their hearings probably on that subject. So perhaps that'll charge some interest in moving forward in that. But in terms of an actual requirement for doing anything, as Mr. Watson testified, I mean, there's no need to do it in terms of urgency, I guess, more or less.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would agree that it's certainly not a requirement, but with the complexity of the process, with three different groups working, trying to put together maps, it would seem that doing something on this order early rather than late might be useful in keeping us on the same page, or at least working more cohesively toward the same goal. So I guess I'm just wondering if you have a plan of trying to push this forward on a faster timetable than it was done 10 years ago, or we're just going to sit back and wait and see if the Senate or someone else reacts to this.
Well, I think one of the issues that we have to
that we're seriously looking at with the Senate, just in, you know, some casual conversations with Senator Polkemiller, for instance, and the governor's staff, would be what the deviations are going to be. And so, again, because of the technology, some are saying, well, we can go all the way down to zero, as they do with congressional districts. And so, you know, do we go to 1%? Do we go to plus or minus 0.5%? Under federal law or case law, I understand it's plus or minus 5%, 10% deviation, which is pretty wide in latitude. And Minnesota has had 2%, I think, for the last two redistricting sessions. And so, again, because of the technology, I think we're looking at maybe having a smaller deviation. And maybe that's one of the issues that has to be looked at or worked on. So. Any other questions from members of the audience? If not, again, I want to thank everybody for coming. And we've had some great comments and suggestions, just real briefly, with members of the audience. And members of the committee, we will hang around here for a little while and meet informally with anyone who'd like to talk about the process. And then I think we're going to be off for dinner. Yeah, and Representative Walsh, if you'd like to have a closing comment.
I just wanted to make one comment to Mayor Wallin when he said he likes sitting back there and having other people up here. I don't think the city of Brainerd is ready for you to get out of here and sit back there. Speaks well of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hospitality. Is this your stuff or not?